Hey there, I'm Allison Nitsch, and this is Podcast First Marketing. You've been told to just keep posting, showing up on Instagram or TikTok or wherever you are. But what if the reason your content isn't converting is because it's too short to actually build trust? Today, we're talking about what I consider the real MVP of visibility, and that's long-form content. Now, whether it's a podcast, a blog, YouTube, or even an email newsletter, it's time to create content that lasts longer than 24 hours. It's not constantly spinning in an algorithm, and it actually does the heavy lifting in your business. I know I usually talk about all things podcasting, but today I want to zoom out just a bit and talk about something a little bit broader, bigger, however you want to say it, and that's long-form content. As you know, or maybe you are new here and you don't know, I specialize in launching podcasts for women entrepreneurs who want to sell their services or coaching or however to get clients. But before I share all the reasons why I think you need a podcast, this is about helping you realize why actually long-form content is what you should be focused on for your visibility and how you want to build your foundation off of it. Now, whether that's a podcast, a blog, a YouTube channel, or even a consistent newsletter, which if you work with me, I teach you to have three of those, or maybe all four if you want to, that's up to you if you have the bandwidth to do that. But I teach you how to do three of those very simply. But when it comes to social media is short form content. Even YouTube shorts are short form content. That is not a bad thing. In fact, people do phenomenally just on short-form content. I might tell the story sometime, but my son does very well making short-form content. But that is just what it is. It's short-form. It's 10 to 90-second reels, carousel posts, stories that disappear within 24 hours. That kind of content has its place, and it's very good for going viral and gaining new followers and all those things. And I still use it. But it doesn't give you the time or the space to unpack all of the real value of what you want to do and share. And I know some people may not think that that is true, but in my book it is, because you can share all you want on social media. You can have the stories that really go into depth and talk about the things, but they disappear. And some of those people you want to see that won't. And even if you turn it into a reel, because I know some people turn their stories into reels and put it on their feed, yeah, it then lives on the feed, but not everybody that follows you will see it. And unless they're going digging in your feed, they're probably not going to find it. So it's very hit or miss. But when you think about long-form content, you have these big ideas, okay? You have these thoughts that you might want to dig a little bit deeper on, go into more details. You might have this unique way of explaining how you work with clients. How are you supposed to communicate all of that into 90 seconds or less? Or into short sentences in a caption? They only give you so much to say, right? Or words on B-roll. I don't know how many B-rolls I've made, and I'm like, are they really going to know what I mean by this? Probably not. It's more to get their attention, to read the caption, and then just follow you and keep watching more and more. But you have to keep creating more and more. And I'm kind of getting ahead of myself, but you can't. It will never happen that way. I mean, you could go live on Instagram and talk for 30 minutes, but that is an option. But if someone misses it live, yeah, it goes into your feed if you choose to. Is that still a thing where you can turn your lives into, I've never done one. But then again, it's lost in the feed. And the only way people will find it is if it shows up in their feed. That's only a percentage of your audience who chooses to follow you, much less people who don't. But this is where long-form content comes in. It's not shown to only a percentage of your followers. If they choose to follow you, it is shown to them. It will pop up in their podcast player. It will be shown since you're subscribed to somebody on YouTube, it shows that they have a new video. If you have a newsletter, they get it in their inbox. Now, that doesn't mean they're all going to click on it and listen, watch, or read, or same with a blog. The point is, it goes to them. I have followed people for years and wondered, where are they? And then I click on their Instagram feed and they've been posting. I didn't see it. Of course, after I went and saw their feed and then they started showing up, but that just kind of got me thinking. I was like, I wanted to know what they were doing, but they weren't even being shown to me. And maybe that's my fault for not interacting with their content, but I'm going to just get off my soapbox on that part. But that's the whole point of what I'm saying. If they want to listen to you, it's there. It's in their podcast player, okay? But here's why long-form content matters and why I think every business owner needs it. Yes, I'm going to say that. Every online business owner needs long-form content, and I'm going to explain why, regardless of which platform you choose. Obviously, I love a podcast, but if that's not the one you choose, that's fine. But you need long-form content, and the biggest reason is because it builds trust. It positions you as a leader. You're the expert. You know what you're talking about. But most importantly, it gives your people a chance to get to really know who you are, how you speak, maybe not in a blog, but in a podcast or YouTube, how you speak, how you coach, the way you think. You can just explain yourself so much easier than you can in a limited amount of time you have in short form content. Every coach or strategist or service provider that I had ever hired, no matter how I found them, it was because of their podcast that I hired them. Not necessarily all service providers. I will say some of them, like somebody who did some Instagram graphics for me, love her. We were in a coaching group together, so I knew her personally. So that's a little bit different. I knew how she spoke and what she did. But any of the other coaches, I have hired them because of their podcast. I may not have found them that way. I might have, you know, found them on Instagram, but it wasn't Instagram or a Facebook ad that had me hire them. It's because I saw that they had a podcast and I went and binged their episodes. And the way they were able to communicate in their episodes, what they talked about, that all led me to wanting to work with them. I understood how they thought. I resonated with the way they coached or like their philosophy. And I trusted them to guide me or teach me what they knew because I knew how they would do it. I needed to know that they were for me. And a lot of times when it comes to, social media and short form content. But a lot of times with that, sure, you can learn from something, but you would have to get on a call with them to learn more, to talk to them, to find out more about them. If you have long-form content, you've kind of cut that process in half. And the way I teach my clients is that by the time you have funneled I teach us a podcast sales funnel through your episodes. And by the time you funnel them through there, there's really not a whole lot of questions to ask. They pretty much know, or the goal is that they know they want to work with you. They might just need to get on a call just to kind of like seal the deal. And like maybe ask more personal to them questions. But that is what long form content can do for you. It gives them enough to go off of to where you're not trying to have a sales call with them. Like your podcast can be selling for you. Plus, long form content is evergreen. It's not going away. And by this, I mean that your podcast episodes from 6 months ago, they are still searchable. People will still go back and listen to them. I have clients who have, anywhere from 25 to 70, 80 downloads a month from their episodes from 2 or 3 years ago. I do monthly analytic reports, and so I do the top 10 episodes so they can see what really is performing. And it just blows my mind every time that they have new listens each month from like episode one, and they're in like the high hundreds. And that just goes to show that people will go back and listen. And I've heard people say recently that YouTube works better for that than podcasts. And I don't agree. The only thing about YouTube, and I'm going to get into the pros and cons of all of them here in a second, but just so I don't forget this thought, YouTube, yes, will suggest older videos to people based on what they're watching, but a podcast, it's like a library of content. They can just kind of scroll through and find what they want to watch, well, not watch, listen to. And so that works just as well. So, and same goes for like a blog post. That could still be ranking and being read, especially if you put it on Pinterest. And like I just said about YouTube videos, they will still be suggested. I'm still getting, when I went through my little, I thought I was going to do YouTube phase, I'm still getting videos suggested to me. And then I'll look and I'm like, it says 2 or 3 years ago. And I'm like, this is crazy. So that is a benefit of long form content. It's not going away. Unless you take it down, it's there. So that is just the power of long form content. Now, if you compare that to, let's just say, an Instagram story that expires in 24 hours, that's a night and day difference. And even posting the feed, yes, you could scroll and they could be found, but they have to be on your feed and they have to be doing some digging, because something from 2 or 3 years ago is going to be way down at the bottom of your feed. And a lot of people don't make it that far as digging. And that could be one of your best pieces of content. But a lot of that is because in order to stay top of, what am I trying to say? The top of the game, the top of whatever I'm trying to say, meaning you have to keep creating more content, which pushes your old content way further down there. Whereas long form content, once a week, that's all you have to do. One a week. That's it. You're not posting 3 or 4 or 5 times. And some people are still doing 6, 7, 2 or 3 times a day. Absolutely not. Once a week is all you need for long form content. Okay. What I want to get into next is like breaking down some of the pros and cons of the different long form content. And I have tried all of them, and some a lot more than others. So I'm not going to say I'm an expert in all 4 by any means, but I know enough about all of them to give you the pros and cons. And from what I've researched and from what I've heard others saying. So there are basically 4 main types of long form content, but really it's kind of like 3.5. And I'm going to explain why. So you have podcasting, which is my favorite. You have blog posts, which I also do. You have YouTube. I have dabbled in and I did like it. And I'm not saying I won't ever do YouTube again, but I'll get into that in a second. And then the half is email newsletters. And the reason I say it's just kind of a half is, which I'll get into why I only give it like a 0.5 here in a second, but it is considered long form content. Basically, anything long form means it's not going to just disappear. Like somebody has to delete it. So that's what I really consider long form content. Okay, let's start with podcasting, because why not? Okay, I tried to keep this not like too biased on podcasting, but like really when I thought deep down into it, like okay, let me just get into it. So here's some pros of podcasting. So out of the 4, some of these obviously will overlap. So it does build the trust. You are hearing the person's voice, like the inflections and how they're passionate about something, their laugh and what they do, and you know, just anything about them. You might hear the little quirks that they say and just little things like that that might not ever come across otherwise. Podcast episodes are extremely easy to batch. I work with my clients on how to batch their episodes within their schedule if they want to batch. Whether that's like recording once a month, or if they don't want to batch it, but we figure out a way to fit it in their schedule. But the way I do is I record all my episodes once a month and then I'm done. And then I can do everything else as I want to later as far as repurposing. I think podcast gives that real deep connection, because it's almost like you're having a conversation with somebody, except it's like a one-way conversation, but I'm pretending that you're responding to what I'm saying. I really am. And you can repurpose your episode transcripts into so many other pieces of content, which I will get way more into in this podcast and tons of episodes. Okay, the cons. I can't just say I love it and there's no cons. There are. It does require some upfront setup. You do have to have a podcast host in order to upload your episodes, to send out. You do have to have a microphone. I know some people will just throw up some very random audio. I will turn it off if I cannot hear past all the... Okay, I won't get into that. But just know, there's audio editing, which I can do those for you if you don't want to do that. A lot of people struggle with consistency because they don't start with a schedule and a strategy and a system, which I help all my clients with. But again, if you find a way to make it work within your schedule, you don't have to worry about all those things. Let's see, what are some other cons? If you don't like talking, that's clearly a huge con. If you don't like to talk and you think that you fumble over your words, I mean, you do get better over time, but if you don't like talking, that's clearly a con. I should have written more in my notes, but those are the big ones right there. As far as like cost and things like that, my mic was $70 and I think it went down into the 50s or 40s on Prime Day. It's actually not even available, but the most comparable one is still around $50 to $60, $70. You don't even have to start with a fancy mic. You don't. You just need something to make people be able to hear you, and that's about all. And at other costs, it's just your podcast host. That's it. I'm recording in Zoom right now. Don't even pay for Zoom right now because haven't been doing calls longer than 40 minutes. So that's it. I mean, really, there's not a whole lot else you have to do. So that's podcasting. We will talk a whole lot more about that over the mini episodes. Now let's look at blogging. So the pros of blogging are, I mean, SEO, goldmine there. It's going to get you search. I always tell my clients to turn their podcast episodes into blogs because of this. So, well, there's that repurposing, but it's great for explaining details like how-tos, and like you can even write out your process. You can build your authority through a blog. There's just so much that can go into a blog. And again, long-form content, it's there. You have a chance to explain what you want. The cons of blogging is it can feel very time-consuming to write if you're not a natural writer, or just figuring out how to structure your blog and all the things. But I don't think blogging is hard because I repurpose my podcast into a blog. And I'm not talking just like the show notes version where it's just like, here's what I talked about on my podcast, here's some links, which works great. You can still use it for SEO. But I actually turn mine into a full-blown blog because I take my transcript and I repurpose that. So there's that. YouTube. So here are some pros for YouTube. YouTube, I really do like the concept of YouTube. I do. I tried it for 6 weeks. I think there was 3 weeks where I had two videos. So I don't even remember the total videos I did, but I did it for 6 weeks. And what I loved about YouTube and learning about YouTube, because I did a lot of research. I even hired a YouTube coach. I did all the things during my little midlife crisis. But the good things are the pros I love about YouTube is it's extremely searchable. Clearly, I mean, Google owns YouTube. I mean, you literally just type in something and you find a YouTube video. When you need to fix something, you type something in and it has a YouTube video. So YouTube is searchable. It's for visual learners. If you are a visual person and you love showing things and you have like tutorials and things like that, YouTube is amazing. The videos live a very, very long time and they will just keep being suggested to viewers in their algorithm, but it does have an algorithm just like everything else does. And you have to kind of find your way to get in that algorithm to be suggested. And you really have to, I learned a lot about YouTube as far as being a YouTuber versus using your YouTube to market your business. It's not so much about like the SEO. I said that weird SEO, as it is making sure people want to see your videos. So that's a little bit about that, but it's like, it still builds authority. They can see you and they can also hear you. You can go into more details on topics. So it is a very good platform to be on, because I know someone's going to ask, do they recommend repurposing a podcast as a YouTube? I will probably do a whole episode on this because I feel very strongly about this. They're two very different platforms. You have to be very strategic how you do it, because YouTube is video and podcast is audio. I don't recommend taking your podcast and just throwing it up as a video, because people want to, I don't want to say they want to be entertained, and I'm kind of getting into the cons a little bit, but you have to keep their attention. And I've just learned that with YouTube, it's a lot different. And the flip side of that is if you focus on YouTube and just take your audio and strip it and put it on a podcast, you have to make sure that it's for audio. I've listened to there's a specific person that I love listening to and learning from, but she does it for YouTube and then takes that audio and puts it on a podcast. So you hear all of the sound effects, like the little swooshes and dings, and like she'll talk about what she's showing on the screen. And I'm like, I can't see it. So you have to be very strategic. Again, I think I'll do a whole episode on that just so that I can really talk about the difference, because I do get a lot of clients asking me, do I recommend putting my podcast on YouTube? I think a podcast is a podcast and YouTube is a YouTube. Can they mix? They can if you do it strategically. But let's go into the cons of YouTube. Clearly, it's video, so you have to be camera ready. You have to have good lighting, because that makes a difference. And good camera quality. It doesn't mean, like, you could still use your iPhone, I was using my iMac camera and my coach never said a word. Like she said, my video was great quality. So I was like, okay, video editing can be very time consuming. Obviously, if you can hire out to someone, I would do that. I did learn how to do video editing and I loved it. I wouldn't be opposed to helping a client edit their video. It's just a lot more time consuming adding in different things. But what I am learning is sometimes simple is better. But the one thing I found as I was doing YouTube, and I really am glad I tried it because now I have more to say about it. I always felt this pressure to perform. And I'm going to put perform in air quotes because it's not like you're acting and you're not like trying to be someone you're not, but you have to be like, I don't know, you have to hold their attention. Whereas I'm in your earbuds right now and you are listening to me like we're having a conversation. It's a lot different to do that on YouTube, especially the way I learned. I do know of a few extremely well-known podcast hosts who do YouTube where it is just watching them talk and it works great. But if you are someone like me who nobody knows, it's a whole lot harder. And I don't think that they're going to come to YouTube just to watch me talk. It was more of a hold their attention, have the excitement, use your hands, which if you could see me right now, I am using my hands, but I'm also like looking up at the ceiling while I talk. I don't know why I do that. I think I talked about that in another episode, or maybe that was my private podcast. I can't remember. But either way, I got so overwhelmed by having to focus on looking at the camera, like looking at the camera to make eye contact. And like, I even tried, this is a little trick, but I even tried the like, in Descript recording and using the little AI to make my eyes look like I was recording, but I just felt like I was cheating. And I don't know, it worked. But anyway, so there's just so much that I have learned during my time doing it that if you have a very good strategy, you can combine the two, but I really think just keep them separate. And if you're just starting, pick one, do not do both. But also, while I was doing this, like, when it comes to YouTube, you have to have like, and I'm going to say this is kind of a con because it was hard for me. The things you have to focus on the most is the packaging. The thumbnail and the title meant the most. And in fact, you come up with those first and then you create your content. And I'm like, but I just wanted to create content and then put it on YouTube. And then I have a title, but it's like with YouTube, if you don't get them to click your video by seeing the thumbnail or the title, they're not even going to hear your content because they're not going to click through. So it's like, that just stressed me out. And then plus everything else, like I remember probably about 2 weeks in going, oh my gosh, I miss podcasting. I just want to pull out my mic and talk. It just was so much easier. So between podcasting and YouTube, podcasting is just, oh my gosh, it's just so much easier. And it doesn't have to be as complicated as people make it out to be. Like I'm naturally talking to you like you're sitting in front of me, even though I can't see you, but that's okay. So I'm just going to pretend you're there. But so that's a little bit about YouTube. Now, the point five, those are the three: podcast, blogs, and YouTube. And if you have YouTube or a podcast, you automatically have a blog. I mean, I just say you should, and because it's so easy, just take the transcript of your video or your episode, throw it into ChatGPT and say, give me a blog. I think I said this already, but I have a custom GPT that I have trained very well to be very SEO optimized and take out all of the words that ChatGPT puts in there. Because if I see one more person write, you are not broken, I've literally gotten to the point where I roll my eyes because I know that's from ChatGPT. So I have trained my custom GPT to not do that, but you throw it in there and you just say, please write me a full custom, you know, well, not custom, but SEO optimized blog post. And it takes, and the reason it works so well is because a lot of people are like, don't use AI to write your blog. Well, I'm not. I'm taking my words and having ChatGPT put it in written form. So it is your voice. It's going to say, and my custom GPT says, do not change the tone of voice or the way they say things like that. That's just the way it is. I want it to just be taking the transcript, but putting it into written form, because if you just took my transcript and threw it up there, oh my gosh, there's no telling what it would look like. But it breaks it apart into headlines and all the things. So if you have YouTube or podcasting, you should be doing a blog. Okay, the point five, 3.5 is an email newsletter. And the reason I say this is a 0.5 is because they have to opt into it. It's not public facing. They can't just find it anywhere. They have to opt into what you have as a lead magnet or just some form. It's basically behind a wall. It's not paid, but it's behind a wall and they have to opt in. So there's really not a way to just have that out there. But the pros of it are you own their list. So they're always going to get your newsletters, whether they open it or if it goes into spam, who knows. But it's direct, it's personal because you're writing to them. It builds your loyal audience. It's where sales can happen. In fact, I teach my clients, take your podcast episodes, turn them into email newsletters, and then you have them on your email list where you can continue to nurture and sell to them. So it's great. I recommend, at first I wasn't as, I wasn't opposed to email newsletter. I just didn't, like for me as a service provider, I was like, well, why do I need an email list? Well, now that I tried to switch into like digital products for a little while, I see the value in it and just being able to talk to people differently in an email. But, you know, whatever. The cons of an email newsletter is that it is much lower discoverability because they do have to opt in. And I kind of said the converse, but that's okay. And sometimes they can be hard to get opt-ins. People are stingy with their newsletter, or not newsletters, their email. I have to really want to be on their email list. And you have to constantly be driving traffic to your opt-ins to get them on your email list. So that's why I say it's a 0.5, but it is long form because, I mean, and again, unless you stop emailing or they delete it, it's there. All right. So out of all four of these, I'm going to tell you that I have found podcasting to just be so much easier. I literally just took my mic, which I don't ever unplug my mic. It literally just sits on my desk. I pull it over and I turn it on. And I think I said this before, I record in Zoom and I've tried all the other ones. I even record in Descript sometimes, but for some reason I just turn on Zoom and I record. And like I said, I didn't hate YouTube, but it was just so hard to know what I wanted to say and how to make sure I was looking at the camera. And it just didn't feel like it flowed as naturally as like I can just talking into the mic. So 12 videos later, I decided I want to go back to podcasting. And then I just changed my whole business model and, you know, all the rest is history. But I might go back someday. I don't know. Really just stopped because when I was doing YouTube, I thought I was going to do more coaching and digital products. But if you've heard my other episodes, I think I went through a midlife crisis and yeah. But the thing I love most is that you don't have to just choose one. You can have a single podcast episode that can be turned into a blog, a newsletter, and then you can turn that into social media content. You can have it all. But I like podcasting to be first, and then everything comes from that. Okay. I don't want to get, again, like I said, with as far as repurposing podcasting and YouTube, I'll talk about that another time because they're just two very different platforms and they just don't merge cohesively, but it can work. So, all right. Let me just do a quick little note on repurposing because I just want to kind of maybe clarify what I say by that. You are basically creating one piece of long-form content each week and let that do the heavy lifting. So you record one podcast episode and instead of scrambling to create 10 different posts, you create this one meaningful piece of content and then you slice it up into different pieces of other content. It becomes the blog, it becomes an email newsletter, and then you have these little pieces of social media content because I don't think you should get off of social media. I know there's podcasters that I hear or podcast managers or strategists or whatever teaching, like, get off social media. It's not worth it. I believe you need both. I do. I kind of like to be able to find somebody, listen to their podcast, but I also kind of like to go see what they say on their Instagram. I just don't want that to be your focus because you never know what can happen with that. I've heard of people's Instagram being taken down, like their personal accounts, and you lose it all. Like, what would you do? So if you have this long form content, it's there. I mean, I would rather spend, and here's the thing. You may be thinking, well, that takes up too much time. But if you really think about it, because your podcast episode becomes this other content, you're really just kind of pushing it into that department of time, so to say. And if, let's just say you have 1 hour to create content, I would much rather record a 30-minute podcast episode and have 30 minutes to repurpose it than I would spending an hour on 10 different pieces of Instagram content, because it's going to last you so much longer. So it's just more of like reallocating your time. And even if my podcast didn't get traction, like even I know a lot of people want their podcast to like grow and have all these downloads and get monetized. I am more about, let me talk to the intimate group of people who want to listen to me and they become my clients, more than I would getting a sponsor, because it takes a lot to get a sponsor. I teach my clients, let's focus on what you do and sell. That's the focus. And then if your podcast doesn't get thousands of downloads, you're still making it so much easier to create your content and repurposing it into others. So maybe the blog takes off, or maybe what you said in that podcast made an amazing Instagram post. Who knows? But the thing I love the most is that once you find a podcast, you can binge all of those episodes. So if someone came to me, well, not yet, because I'm early in the stage of my new podcast. I do have an episode coming out about why I started a new podcast. But once you find somebody, you have these episodes that you can binge. So like, this is episode 2 and 4 episodes came out at once. So you can listen to all 4 and learn so much more about me. This is why I love it. So you may be thinking, okay, I need long form content. What do I do? First, I want you to just think about what fits with what you want to do. Like, do you love writing? Could you sit down and just write a blog post? Or would you find it so much easier to record a podcast episode, say everything you need to say, and then turn that into a blog post? So if you're thinking about starting a podcast and you just think, well, this just seems like too much, I wouldn't know where to start, I wouldn't know what to do, let me just tell you this. It is the easiest way to create long form content. It's the easiest way to build trust, because I hope you've learned enough from me in this episode that I have no idea how long it is, that you know a little bit more about me. I mean, maybe not everything. I'm not going to tell you everything in a 30-minute episode, but there's just so much more to it. So if you want help doing it, even if you just want to know whether a podcast is right for you, reach out to me. But I do have a private podcast that walks you through the first steps that I work with all of my clients. And it's called Are You Ready for a Podcast? So if you haven't already downloaded that, go to allisonnitch.com/private podcast. There is a dash between private and podcast. I will link it below though, so that you can find out how much it is, or not how much it is, what it is that you would need to do to get started. And I will have so many more episodes to come that will help you all about launching a podcast. But in the next episode, I'm going to share what happens when somebody does binge your podcast episode, because it can be pretty magical. I've heard it happen to clients, but I was just recently on the side of being the binger, and it just really got me thinking about, wow, podcasts really are powerful. So if you want to know how to turn listeners into leads without ever having to pitch them in the DMs, that just drives me crazy, make sure you check out the following episode, and I will talk to you there.